We're going to start today at the Mishnah Nun Vav Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Damti lefnei Rabbi Eliezer. Ma'im etzim kisora she'eno matame adam ba'ohel hanazir magaleach al maga'o va'al masa'o. Okay, Rabbi Akiva, I'm going to stop mid-sentence. Rabbi Akiva says, I was talking before Rabbi Eliezer, and I said to him, what if you have etzim kisora, which we know is already more kal than the other halachot, because it's only metame, maga, and masa, and it's not metame, ohel. So, if etzim kisora, eino metame adam ba'ohel, and still hanazir is megaleach maga ova masa'o, remember, in other words, even though that was the one category in that Mishnah, that even though it's only metame, maga, masa, and not ohel, it's still the nazir has to shave for it. So, revi dam, shehu metame adam ba'ohel, so, Revi Dam, which is Mitame, and as you're taking regular Dine Chuma, right? Regular Dine Chuma, you have Etzim Kisora is Mitame. Remember, we talked about how there was this parallel mission in OLO, right? And there, the Revi Dam came up, and not by us, it's a Chatzi Log Dam, right? A Revi is a quarter of a log, and a Chatzi is a half a log. So, Etzim Kisora in regular Dine Tara is only Mitame, Maga, and Masa. And Revi Dam is Matame, Maga, Masa, and Ohel. So what looks more chamor to you? Revi Dam, because it's also Matame, Ohel. So what are they saying? Very logically.
Also because there's less of it.
It's a smaller amount. It would be.
It's a smaller amount.
That's also more chamor.
What's a smaller amount?
The Revi Dam.
Then Etzim Kisora. So
no,
Raza Barley.
No, sorry.
Oh, then half a loaf. Yeah. Right. But what they're saying is, in our Mishnah, remember, only for the half a loaf, are you, do you have, is the Nazir Megaleach Alav, and not for the Revi. So they're saying, shouldn't it be that if Etzim Kisora is more Kal than the Revi Dam Halacha, because it's not Matame Ba'ohel, then just like Etzim Kisora, the Nazir is Megaleach Alav, the Revi Dam, also the Nazir should be Megaleach Alav, and that's not the case. So why is that? And that's what he's saying. It should be a Kal V'chomer. So he's saying, right? Uma im etzim kisora she'eno matame adam ba'ol hanazir megaleach hamaga'o v'amasa'o revi dam shu matame adam ba'ol eino din she'eha nazir megaleach hamaga'o v'amasa'a. Okay, remember we had that din that the revi dam in the ohel is mitame, right? Even though it didn't make that distinction, right? Then they made that distinction. No, what was the distinction they made? Oh, no, I forgot. Remember we reread that Mishnah and that the Mishnah actually said that in the end... Sorry, in the end, didn't we reread the Mishnah saying that it is Matame Maga Masa? Remember we reread the Mishnah?
Yeah,
and that
did.
It is Matame Maga Masa. So it's interesting. So the,
and the one that
then how do you understand this within that, right?
And the one
about
that
wasn't right now.
Was...
Right, in the end we said Revi Dam is Matame Maga Masa. That's why it said... One second. Revi... One second. According to this,
he therefore, by contesting the assertion that a nazir does not shave his head for tumah contaminated from a reed.
Yeah, but we said, right, because this is going to be rejected, so how could we understand the Mishnah in that way then? Remember, we had that whole discussion. Okay, give me 1 second to just go back to this and make sure. Oh, it's Robot Samo, not Ruvi Dam. That's why. It was the Robot Samod. It wasn't on the Revi Dam. It was the Robot Samod. Okay, fine. It was just on the Atzamod and not on the Dam. So what we said there, if you remember, was that when it comes to the Robot Samod, it is Mitame, Mago Masa, but here the Revi Dam is not. Okay, so again, we're saying here, shouldn't Revi Dam be Mitame if it's more Chamor than Etzim Kisora, because it's also Mitame Ba'oel? So therefore, it should also be Mitame, Mago Masa, just like the Etzim Kisora. So that's the Kal V'chomer that he makes in front of Rabbi Eliezer. So then, Amar Li, Ma Ze Akiva, Ein Danim Ka Mi Kal V'chomer. Okay, he says, what are you talking about? We don't say this Kal V'chomer, without any sort of explanation. Very blanket, we don't say it. We're going to see in the Gemara what the issue is. Ukishabati v'irtzeti dvarim lefnei Rabbi Yehoshua. So now Rabbi Akiva continues and says, because remember, it started off, Amar Rabbi Akiva danti, right? I said this. So it's speaking in the first person. So then he says, when I came and I brought these things before Rabbi Yehoshua, Amarli yafe amarta. Elaken amru halacha. He says, you did have a good kavachomer, okay? Shouldn't have rejected you off the bat. However, we have a halacha. What does it mean we have a halacha? We have a masoret, okay? Maybe a halacha l'moshe b'Sinai, seems to be, or some sort of masoret. So now, the question is, what do we have a masoret about? In other words, is it about the Revi Dam or about the Etzem Kiseorah? In other words, if Etzem Kiseorah is a regular din, then we should be able to learn the kavachomer. And so let's say Etzem Kiseorah is the regular halacha, and the Revi Dam is a unique halacha, so in theory, you could have made the kavachomer, but Revi Dam is a unique halacha, but it's not. The Nazir is not Megaleach. Or you say the opposite, which is you can't do a kavachomer from Etzem Kiseorah because Etzem Kiseorah is a unique halacha. It's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and therefore you can't learn, right? Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai usually means we have no idea why this is, but it is. So once we can't say it fits in the realm of regular halachot, we can't learn kavachomers from them either. Okay? So that's going to be the Gemara's question. Ibai Elu. Etzem Kiseorah halacha. Etzem Kiseorah is the unique halacha, like I ended with right now. Urevi dam kavachomer. And the revi dam, you could have made a kavachomer, but the ein danim kavachomer mehalacha. O dilma revi dam halacha. Ve'etzem Kiseorah kavachomer. Or is it that the revi dam is unique and the etzem Kiseorah is a regular din, and you could have, in theory, made a kavachomer, but because revi dam is a halacha, ve'ein danim kavachomer mehalacha.
Didn't Rabbi Akiva know that?
Apparently not. Because apparently when he asked the question, he didn't know that that was the case. Okay.
Still in the days when he was learning.
Right. You can say he was still learning. He also calls him Akiva, right? Maze Akiva. He doesn't call him Rabbi Akiva with respect, although you have to figure out, I don't remember if they were colleagues or, right, take out your chart.
So then why would that even get
different generations? But it could be also, sometimes there's different, clearly even the Gemara didn't know whether which was halacha. What? Where's Rabbi Eliezer? The truth is, there's a machloket, and there's a difference of girsaot. Is this Rabbi Eliezer or is this Rabbi Elazar? So it's not even clear to us who it is. So that's also an issue, which could be affected maybe by the fact that he calls him Akiva. And that was why some people say, oh, that's the wrong girsa, because there's Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus, there's Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. I think, I'm trying to remember who's Rabbi Elazar. There's this whole study, okay, or science of, when it says Rabbi so-and-so Stam, which person does that mean? There's books written about this, okay? There's books called Klalei HaTalmud. I took a course in university called Klalei HaTalmud, and it was all about these klalim, and, you know, and it's all about if somebody appears without a last name, basically, or a ben so-and-so, in those days that was their last name, you could say, how do you know who he is? So I don't remember who Rabbi Elazar Stam and who Rabbi Elazar Stam is and how it all relates. But anyway, it's a question to ask, and you can think about it in the context of this Mishnah. Yeah.
It's interesting that they even compare them at all, because they're two completely different materials. You could say that a drop of blood outweighs a barley-sized piece of bone. Like, it's just interesting that they're comparing them, because they're just different materials.
They are different materials, but in halacha, it's not really a concern with what the materials are. It's a matter of the klalim. Like, how could we have etzem kiseorah, which we're more meikel about because it's not metame ba'ohel, and it's going to end up being treated as more chamor than the revi dam? That's the issue here. It's true it's different substances, but still, they're listed together in these lists of tumah, and why should we have a greater shear for dam? You know, what if we already have, remember, this is all based on the fact that we have Revi Dam as a regular shear for Tumah Tahara. It's not like we're making this up and comparing a drop of blood to this. This is a shear of Tumah that's Metame, B'magam, Asa, and Oel. And the only issue is, how does this relate to the Nazir? When we come to this list of which Tumot is enough to make the Nazir be Migaleach, why all of a sudden with Revi Dam are we creating a higher shear, right? Like you need a greater amount to be Megaleach, when really this is more chamor than Etzem Kiseorah. You would think maybe when it came to Etzem Kiseorah, you should have said Etzem Ke Beitza or something, right? You should have created a higher shear there. That's the issue here. That these are shirim that exist in a different realm in regular dine tumat meit. And now we're taking these regular dine of tumat meit and we're applying them to the nazir, and we're applying them in a very strange manner. And that's what's making them wonder. Okay? Like, why isn't it the same? And why, when we change it, are we changing just the Revi Yidam and we're not changing the Etzem Kisera? Okay? And the Rav HaKafetzano, but... Okay. Hadronach Kohen Gadol. Now we're moving on to Dine Sfikot. Okay? We saw this the other day. We saw this when it came up. We mentioned this Mishnah on Friday about a Sfik case where you don't know. Maybe you're a Metzorah. Maybe you're a Metame Lamei. Okay? We're going to start today with a different case, which is Shnei Nizirim, okay? Two people who are Nizirim. Sha'amar lahem echad. Ra'iti echad. Okay, so some guy on the street says, Ra'iti echad mikem shenitma. Ve'eni yodeh ezem mikem. I saw that one of you guys passed through an area, let's say, that was tuma, or you passed underneath something, or, you know, somehow. I saw that one of you was tamei lameit, but I can't tell you which one of you. It was one of you, but I don't know which one.
Because you're both from afar with long hair and long beard.
Right. We're going to see later that the Mishnah proves, the Gemara proves something from here, because what do they say? It's clear, now you can argue with this, it's clear that the guy was far away. Otherwise, he would have been able to identify exactly as Ruth said. Well, you see two guys with long hair, you know, they both look the same. But it's clear that he's far away, is what the Gemara says. Now, it could be something else. It could be, you know, sometimes you see two people together, you talk to them the next day, and you can't remember. Oh, yeah, I noticed one of you. I'm not sure which one. But the Gemara is going to be medayik from here that it must be he was far away, and that's going to prove a point that they have elsewhere. So now, what happens? Because right now we have, again, like we saw the other day, there's Safek Tamei Lameit, right? Each one is Safek Tamei Lameit, and Safek, not Tamei Lameit, which would mean the one who's Tamei Lameit has to shave twice, bring two sets of korbanot, right? The korban tuma, the tiglacha tuma, and the tiglacha tahara. The one who's not a the one who was Tamei Lameit has to do that. And the one who's not Tamei Lameit has to bring one shaving, right? And one set of korbanot. So, and obviously we've learned before that you can't bring a set of korbanot if it's in doubt, right? You're not allowed. So now what do they do? So between the two of them, they have to bring three sets, right? One set of tumah. Right, now let's just put this up, okay? We have two nizirim, and between the two of them, you need tiglachat tumah and tiglachat tahara. And the other guy needs to bring a tahara. So we need altogether two taharas and one tumah. So how are we going to do it? Migalchin, okay, they both shave. Umbibi'im korban tum'ah v'korban tahara. And they bring one korban tum'ah and one korban tahara after 30 days. Let's say they were 30-day nizirim. So after the first 30 days, they bring a korban tum'ah and a korban tahara. Va'omer, im ani hu tamei korban tum'ah sheli v'korban tahara shelcha. V'im ani hu atahor korban tahara sheli v'korban tum'ah shelcha. Right? Each one says, if it's me who became Tameh, then this is going to be my Tumah. And if not, this is going to be my Tahara. Okay? So that's that way they're covered, right? So each of them, at least for the first stage, right, the first two are going to go to, right, this is Korban number one, set one is going to be the Tumah of one and the Tahara of the other. And they can each, what's interesting is that you're allowed to bring it, we saw this in the past, al Tanai. Right? Remember last time we saw it, if I'm not supposed to, then this will be a Nedava. Right? You can do it like that. So here, even you could say, if I'm not supposed to do it, then it's for him. And then I'm Yotzei from his. We saw before, if you remember, there was this case where someone says, Hareini Nazir, and he says, aha, I'm also. And then there was a question, I don't remember if it was exactly that case, or some question that was, some case that was similar. And the question was, can he, maybe he meant that he was going to bring the korbanot of the guy, right? He'd be responsible for his korbanot. So you see someone else could be responsible for a korbanot of yours. Okay, and then what do they have to do though? So if that's the case, so that's fine, but the guy who did the tumah now, who is Tameh, needs to bring the tiglacha tahara. So now what do you do? So obviously he has to wait another 30 days, because then we assume, okay, so now we're canceling all the first 30 days and he has to start again. Right? Obviously, right. Yeah. Obviously, you realize that the whole, this is what we talked about on Friday, in theory, let's say this happened on day number 10, right? Day number 10 of their Nizirut. Let's assume they both took upon Nizirut at the same time. So now, in a regular case, if it was clear, he'd have to immediately wait the 7 days, do the tiglachat, right? In this case, they don't wait. They don't do it immediately because maybe they're not chayav. They have to wait till a whole 30 days passes. They sit it out mishum safek, right? Safek nazir, because maybe he's really tameh and therefore his nazirut is broken right now. So then they both start recounting after they bring the first set, right? Because if it would count for nazirut, so then they have to wait the full 30 days, and then they also can't shave, so they have to wait because they can't shave, and they can't bring the korbanot because their nazirut hasn't ended. So anyway, because of the Tahara guy, they're going to have to wait the 30 days. And now because of the Tumah guy, they're going to have to start another 30 days all over again. So at the end of that 30 days, what do? Mivi'im korban Tahara, they bring together one korban. Ve'omer, and as one guy brings it. Ve'omer, imanihu hatameh, korban Tumah sheli, ve'korban Tahara shocha. If I'm the one who is Tameh, then the first Korban was my Korban Tumah. This actually almost doesn't need to be said because he already said that. And this is going back to the first Korban. Then the first one we brought was the Tumah. And now what I'm bringing, right, the Korban Tara Sheli. Sorry, am I reading it right? I'm Tameh, Korban Tumah Sheli, but Korban Tara Shelcha. Right. Sorry. He's still talking about the first two that were brought. He's talking about what happened 30 days ago. If I'm the Tameh, then the Korban Tumah was mine and the Korban Tahara was yours. V'zeh Korban Tahara Tia. Now the one I'm bringing becomes my Korban Tahara. V'im ani hu haTahor. And if I was the one who was Tahor from the beginning and never became Tameh Meh, then Korban Tahara Sheli, the one I brought last time was mine. The Korban Tumah was yours. And now, Zeh Korban Tahara Tcha, the Korban that I'm bringing now is going to go apply to you. Okay? And that's how they resolve the issue. So now the Gemara is going to say here, Katane, it says in the Mishnah, Shnei Nizirim, Shamar Lahem, Ra'iti Echa Mikem Shenitma, Ve'eni Yodea Eze Mikem. Ve'amai. This doesn't make any sense that we should say this. Why? Kol Safek Tumar Bereshit HaYachid, Mehecha Yafina La, Misota. Okay, where do we learn about this whole concept of Safek Tumar Bereshit HaRabim? We learn it out from the Sota. Okay, we're going to get to this when we get to Sota. Ma Sota bo'el univielet af kol safek tumah bereshit hayachid kigon de'ika beitre. Okay, what does it mean here? Sota, here it's interesting. They're taking a Sota and they're calling her Tme'ah, right? It's a different kind of Tumah, right? Here she's Tme'ah in the sense that she's been suspected. Now, what happened? She was in a Reshut HaYachid with someone, right? No one knows what happened in the room with the Sota and this man. But they know that they went in a room together alone. And what do we say? Safek is Tame, right? We're going to assume that she's Tame and has to go through the whole process. So now, what do they say? We learn all Dinei Sveikot of Tumah from the Sota. That if there's Safek Tumah, we've talked about this before, now we're seeing the source. I can't remember if we actually saw the source before. I don't think we did. That if you find Safek Tumah in a Reshut HaYachid, the Safek is problematic. If we find a Safek Tumah in a Reshut HaRabim, then it's not problematic. Okay, and we learn that all from the Sota. Because if the Sota is in public with this guy, nobody suspects her. They weren't alone together. But once they were alone, then there's a Safek Tumah. Now, yes, it's a totally different concept, but that's the limud here, okay? So we learn this whole concept. Now, what's the issue here? What's considered private? What do you learn from the Sota? Two people.
If the two of them
as soon as there's three people, then it's already public. So now they say, well, this was obviously a public situation. They were walking. A third guy saw them. Okay, this is like a good example of sometimes a private domain can become public. We don't know where they were walking, whether they were in public or they were in private. But even if they were in a Reshut HaYachid, as soon as there's three people, that's already not considered a private domain for this issue, right? Because like the Sota, if the Sota is alone with two people, well, then she's not suspected.
It's directly parallel to the Sota because they're both Nazirim. So you need the third person.
No, it's parallel in terms of the situation. It's conceptually, it's not exactly the Tumah of a Sota is not the same as a Tumah of Tumah Meh that we're talking about. It's a very different type of Tumah.
100%, but you need the third person.
Right, that's exactly what they're saying. No, they're comparing it. Then it's exactly parallel. They're saying that our situation, if there were only two of them, it would make sense. But here there's a third person, which means it's public. If it's public, Safek Bereshit HaRabim, Sveikot Tahor.
But
I didn't understand that to be the case. I mean, the case I understood was he saw at some point one person become Tameh, and he happens to be reporting to him while he's with the other one. Meaning, at what point did he see him?
Oh, no, the assumption is he saw both of them.
And one of them
he saw become Tameh.
While all three of them were there.
Exactly. So now what they're going to say is, how could this be, right? So Amar... Aval hacha shnei nezirim v'hai dekai gabehon. In other words, it's two plus the guy who's with them. Hatzlata havele safek tumah v'rishut arabim v'chol safek tumah v'rishut arabim speko tahor, and therefore it should be tahor. So what's going to be the answer? Amar Rabba Barachuna beomer ra'iti tumah shenizrika b'nechem. In other words, the guy, and this is what we said from the very beginning, he was very far away. He wasn't with them. They were in a place alone. He happened to see them from afar. That's already, they can still be considered then in a separate reshut than he was, and therefore their suffix is considered a reshut yachid, and therefore we're going to assume that's feiko tameh. Yes, I see the look on your face, and you could say this is a little far-fetched, and in the end, the answer could be, we actually had this before where they compared something to suffix and then they said, this isn't the same type of suffix. And maybe here you could also say, it's a different type of suffix. You know, the suffix tumah is, did you walk in the place that was tameh or not? You know, maybe this is, we know someone's tameh, vadai. You know, there's a vadai tumah here. And it's just a suffix of, who does it fall upon? And that might be different. So that's a possible answer. There's the fact that the Gemara gives one answer, doesn't mean there aren't other answers. Okay, right? Like we always like to say the questions are better than the answers. Sometimes there's good questions. But the answer might be, you know, a different answer, possible different answer. So anyway, he says, Amar Rav Ashi, I'm going to prove what Rabbi Baruch Huna is saying, because Dai Kanami Dekatane, Ve'eni Odei Eze Mikem, Shema Mina. Okay, because he said, and I don't know which one, must imply that he was really far away, and that's why he couldn't tell. And therefore, that would show that he was obviously in a different reshut, and their safek is then becomes a safek, be Rishud Yachid, Safek Tumah Rishud Yachid, in which case it's going to be Tameh. Okay.
But if he was so far away, then how could he possibly have seen something?
No, because he knows, let's say, he knows that there was Tumah in a certain area, and he saw that guy walking through that area, and the other guy was walking, or maybe they were in two, you know, different paths, and one
four
took a path.
Four amot is not all that far.
What?
Four amot is also not all that far.
Who says four amot away? That's what they say, it's four amot away? What? That he was far, that he wasn't in the same reshut. There's a bit of a...
They said the tumah was thrown. It wasn't they were walking through. It was someone was throwing something. How could he possibly know when they were thrown? If it was...
Right.
They never questioned the witness, the validity of the witness.
They said, yes. The note says he was at least 4 miles away. But four
not
motor,
very far at all.
Four
miles
is not very far. Far. Right.
Is our handy dandy chart right here?
Right, right. No, four mode is, you know.
Yeah, four mode is not.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. There's different opinions. I remember seeing that there was something about different opinions about whether we're talking about that he was just about 4 mode or he was much farther away. And, you know, what does it mean to be in the same reshut and that's public, that's how distance do people have to be? I think there's different opinions about it. I don't think it's so clear.
So far, it can't tell the difference between two people.
Right, it would have to be, right. It's not 4 amot away, unless, you know, if people didn't have glasses in those days, then maybe it was a little blurrier.
The note says
what?
He was at least 4 amot away.
At least, but it could be he was right.
This Mishnah seems so simple after Friday's Mishnah, so I don't
yeah.
know why they're making big, you know, why can't they just accept it as it is and move on?
Because no, because it conflicts with this concept they have of Safek Tum Rishud Yachid. But right. Right. Well, then also, it would be the same question on the next Mishnah, which is if you have this guy who's Safek Mitzorah, Safek Tameh. If the Safek Tumah was in Rishud Yachid, then it wouldn't apply either, according to this, right? In other words, if there's two cases, right? If the guy became Tameh, we don't know. Did he become Tameh? Right? He's a Safek Tameh. We don't know where did the Safek arise. Did it arise in a Rishud Yachid situation or Rishud Aravim situation? So it could be that when the next Mishnah that we're going to see that we talked about already, that there's a guy who's a Safek Mitzorah, a Safek Tameh Meh, right? Even he's Safek the both maybe, or neither. Right, so maybe it's only in a case where it happened in Rishud Yachid and not in Rishud Arabim. You might have to say that. And I don't know if the Gemara is going to bring it up on there. Anyway, the first issue we dealt with was how do you do the korbanot? The next issue the Gemara is going to raise, that's what the Mishnah raised. The Gemara is going to raise the issue, what about shaving? Because what's the issue? He has to shave his whole head. Now remember, a Nazir is allowed to shave his entire head, but a person, a regular person who's not a Nazir, is not allowed to shave. Lo takifu pe'at roshchem. He can't cut off his pe'ot. And therefore, if he's only a Safek, right, the first tiglachat is clearly fine. The second tiglachat is going to be a problem because only one of them right now has to do a mishem niziru. So how can he do that? As when you have an aseh, the misar aseh of the tiglachat of the nazir, it's docha the lo taseh of lo takifu pe'at roshchem. But when it's a safek, it should. So how do we do it? Migalchinu mivim v'amai dilma lav tmein unun v'ka'avid hakafa. Maybe they're not tmein and they're doing hakafa. So Amar Shmuel b'isha v'katan. Okay, what does Shmuel say? Interesting halacha. You have a woman, it's talking about when they do the giluach here, it's only if it's a katan. Okay, all of a sudden it turns out, okay, which has to be a nazir, how can he take upon nazirut if he's a katan? So remember we talked about there's that samuch lepirkan, right? The 12, he's 12 years old, so his neder was a good enough neder, but he doesn't have the real isur midoraita of lo takifu pe'at roshchem. So he's a katan, and a woman who's not, right now, who can shave him, according to Shmuel, even if you're a katan, if you're a man, you're not allowed to shave a katan's peot. But if you're a woman, and you're not commanded, you're not part of this whole commandment of lo takifu pe'at roshchem, because it doesn't apply to women, then you're allowed to do it to someone who also doesn't have the commandment. So basically, it means that the woman did the shaving on a katan who wasn't commanded it. That's Shmuel's opinion. So now they say, v'lukum migadol, why don't we just say that it's talking about a gadol, v'hakafat kol arosh lo shma hakafa. You remember we had that opinion? That the whole issue of the peyot is only when you're cutting just the peyot. But if you were to shave your entire head off, you'd be allowed to shave also your peyot, because that's not the isur of peyot. Peyot is just to cut the peyot and have your hair, right, without the peyot. So maybe you would say that this mishnah is talking about a gadol, and hakafat kol arosh is not hakafa. Therefore, there's no issue at all with the guy shaving his whole head, including his peyot, because there's no isur with that. So why don't they do that? So they say, midelo mokim lahachi, since Shmuel didn't give that, which would be a much more obvious answer, because then it would include anyone, to say that this mishnah is only talking about a katan who's from age 12 to 13 is a strange answer. But from the fact that he didn't give the more obvious answer, shmamina kasav Shmuel hakafat kol arosh shma hakafa. It must be that that's what Shmuel holds. That Shmuel holds, right, of, remember there was a machloket about it. Shmuel holds, no. The isser is, it's usher to cut your payout, even if you're shaving off all your hair. Still forbidden. Okay, and that's why he had to give a more difficult answer. That's the first version of this discussion with Shmuel. Marzutra matne la lahashmata de Shmuel, a seifa. Marzutra, okay, first of all, there's a bit of a problem here, which is the question was asked, right? Dilma lav tmein inun veka'avet hakafa. The question was asked really about both nizirim, and it seems like a strange question because in the end, right, it sounds like it's trying to about all the giluchim here, and some of them are clearly okay. So Marzutra is going to say it wasn't really on this mishnah that the question came about; it was on the seifa, okay, the case that we talked about Friday. So let's go through the case again. Nazir shahayat tameh b'safek umuchlat b'safek. Okay, he was tameh maybe. He was mitzora muchlat, right? Definitive maybe. Ochel b'kodashim lachar shishim yom, right? After 60 days, he's already cured from his mitzora. Because maybe the first 30 days he was tameh meit, and then the second 30 days if he was a mitzora, what happens? He has to do two shavings. Oh, by the way, I forgot to correct this on tape and in front of you all. I made a mistake in the mitzora. When the mitzora does his shaving, he does two shavings. I said that there were two sets of 7 days. It was a mistake. Okay? What happens with the Nazir is, with the Mitzora, there's a whole bunch of 7 days, because the Kohen checks him, right? He comes back every 7 days to check if he's not sure, and this and that. But then he becomes a Mitzora, And at a certain point, the Kohen will declare, in other words, he goes back to the Kohen when he thinks the Nega is gone. And once the Kohen decides this is definitive Mitzora, so he waits until it's cured, he goes back to the Kohen to check, and the Kohen says, you're good. Okay? At that point, he shaves on that day. In other words, that's the... Okay, Aviva pointed this out to me. It was my mistake. At that point, he does his first shaving, and he does the whole thing with the birds, with the live bird and the dead bird, etc., that we saw the other day, and that's when he kills, when he throws back. And then he waits 7 days and does a second set of shaving. So because he has to do this two sets of shaving, so what happens? He can't do his first set immediately, so he has to wait 30 days because maybe he's a Nazir. So he waits 30 days to do the first shaving because he's not allowed to cut his hair. Then he needs to do the second set, so he has to wait another 30 days to do the second set now instead of the usual 7 because he might be a Nazir because maybe he was Tameh Mei. The first one was he waited 30 for the Tumat Mei, and now he's actually a real Nazir. So either which way, he has to wait 60 days in order to eat Kodashim. Umegaleach arba tiglachot. Right, and then what happens? So he does the first 30 for the Mitzorah, first Mitzorah, then he shaves. Then he does the second 30, because maybe he was again, he has to do the second Tiglachot of the Mitzorah. Then he waits another 30 for the Sefek Tumah, and another 30 for the Nazir. So now, in the end, he does 4 Tiglachot. So now you would say, V'haka Avid HaKapa. Here, no matter how you read it, right, unless everything applied to him B'mei Achuz, which could have been, but otherwise... he's doing all these unnecessary tiglachot, right? Maybe none of this sefek happened, in which case he did 4 tiglachot when he really was only supposed to do 1. And how could he shave all his hair? So Amr, right, his peot. So Amr Shmuel, b'isha v'katan. And on that mission is where Shmuel said, it was about an isha who shaved, and the kid was a katan. Maybe that's why he got so confused and wasn't sure what was what, because he was a katan, I don't know. Right, you have to wonder, how does this guy not know if he's a sefek mitzvah, if he's sefek tamimei, right? He got himself into a very difficult situation. Amar Rav Huna, Hamikif et hakatan harehu chayav. Rav Huna says, if you shave the head of a katan, you're chayav. Okay, like a regular person shaves the head of a katan, he's chayav. So Amar le Rav Ada bar Ahava le Rav Huna, v'didach man megalich lahon. He says to him, I don't understand. You say that anyone who shaves a katan is chayav. But what about your kids? Okay, what you see from here is that Rav Huna shaved his kids' peot. Okay, his sons had no peot. Okay, some of the first say, you see from here that it was nahug dafka. The people would shave their kids' peot, right? Nowadays, nobody does that, right? Nobody shaves their kids' peot. They're always very careful, right? But apparently, he shaved his kids' peot. So you said, who shaved your kids' peot? Amar lei, chova. Okay, chova is not chova like we would normally see it. That's why I'm pronouncing it chova. I don't know if it's really true or not. That was his wife's name. Okay? My wife did it. Okay? Obviously, he thought, just like Shmuel, it was okay for his wife to shave the peyote of his kids. So Rav Ada bar Ahava says, takbirinun chova libaneha. Okay? It's unclear whether he meant this as a curse or whether he was saying, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing this. Whatever he said, it turned into a curse, okay? What he means basically is she's going to bury her sons, and this woman will not be able to have children. As how could she be doing such a thing? So, kul heshnei de Rav Ada bar Ahava, loikayim lezara leRav Huna. Okay, she was never able to have children all the days that Rav Ada bar Ahava was alive, which seems to imply what? Seems to imply that when he died, Rav Huna was able to have children with her, okay? So now, michti travayu svira lehu, right? Both of them say, hakafat harosh, kol harosh, shma hakafa. Seems that both of them apply that shaving your whole head would be considered hakafa. But b'may kamiflage, but then what's the root of their machloket? Rav Huna savar, lo takifu pe'at roshchem, b'lo tashchit et pe'at zkanecha. Okay, they seem to... what he's saying is these two things appear in the pasuk together. Okay, it's not 100% clear how he learns this limud. But lo takivu pe'at roshchem and lo tashchit pe'at zkanecha. Kol sheyesh lo hashchata, yesh lo hakafa. Anyone who's in the ball game for lo tashchit, right? Which would mean men only, because they have beards. Even if a woman were to have a beard, it wouldn't be an issue. She'd be allowed to shave it. Like, clearly there's no issue for a woman for that. So therefore, right? Hanenasheho, so anyone who's in the ballgame for lo tashchit, pe'atz kanecha, is also in the ballgame for lo tashchit for pe'at roshchem. Okay, this seems to be, they're next to each other, right? So therefore, what applies for one applies for the other. So therefore, kol she'yesh lo hashchata, yesh lo hakafa, v'hanenashe, and these women, ho'il v'litnihu b'hashchata, since they're not connected to the whole zakan thing, beard, litnihu nami b'hakafa, they're not involved in hakafa, and therefore a woman has no iser to cut off somebody's peot. So if she shaves the peot of her children, it's not a problem. Sorry, that one was actually clear how he learns it, because of the juxtaposition of the two in the pasuk. Rav Adbar Ava's diuk from that pasuk is a little more difficult. Savar achana makif ve'achana nikaf b'mashma. It seems to include both the one who's makif, lo takifu, and also the one who is nikaf, who someone does it to. Okay, meaning what? V'it kish makif l'nikaf. We then can compare the makif to the nikaf, right? The makif is the person who's shaving them, and the nikaf is the one who's getting shaved. Kol hecha d'nikaf michayev, makif nami michayev. Any time where the nikaf would be chayav, meaning if he's not allowed to do it to himself, then the makif is nami michayev. Then the one who does it is also chayav. V'hai katan ho'il v'hu gufei lav bar onshin hu d'michayev. Makif nami lo mechayev. So since the katan is not bar onshin, so therefore the one who's makif is also not mechayev, meaning that even though you didn't catch this when we said it, okay, and I didn't say it specifically, but what does he hold in the end? Why did he say she'll bury her children? Not because he thought that she was doing something wrong. He said she'll bury her children. It now becomes clear because why? Because Rav Huna, when he asked Rav Huna, why are your sons shaved if you think you can't do it? He was trying to say, I have no problem with you doing it. You should be able to do it yourself. Because what's the issue here? He says, if the nikaf, the one who you're doing it to, is not ra'oy to kabel and onesh for what he's doing, then anyone can do it for him, right? Which actually is the most logical, because why would you think just because lo takifu is forbidden to me, if I'm a man, I won't be able to do it to someone who's not chayav? So that's what Rav Adbar Ava is saying, and that makes his call out all the stranger, right? You know, he was obviously just upset with Rav Huna that he was teaching this limud, and as a reaction, he said, you know, why'd you make your wife do this? And then he kind of cursed the wife or said something, you know, and then... And maybe he was saying, like, you're shirking responsibility, you're leaving it for your wife, but you can do it yourself. And maybe you have to think about what he was worried about. And maybe he's worried about rabbis being examples for people and trying to say, you know, don't leave your wife to do things that you can do yourself and show people that it's okay and that there's no issue here. And, you know, anyway, you have to really wonder why he had such a strong tone there. And all the more so, we've seen this before, I forget the term. Actually, it says it here. Let me find the term. But it's, you know, shkaga yatsami piv or something, that, you know, he accidentally said something. He didn't mean it the way he meant it, and yet it took upon, you know, it came true. And you have to be, you know, this teaches you something else, this story, which is you have to be really careful what you say and what you wish for, or, you know, or really just watching your words. That it's very dangerous, obviously, what your words can do. But I want to just see where the term is. It's yotzei mipiv or something. There's a term for it. Where is it? Here. Keshkaga hayotzei milifnei hashalit. It's a pasuk in Kohelet. That's what it is. It's kishkaga hayotzei mipi ha-shalit, and they say, right, that sometimes you can say something that you don't really mean, but because it came out of the mouths of someone important, then it had effects. And maybe now, it's making me think about because it's dafta hayotzei mipi ha-shalit. It's not just a regular person. And maybe that's what the story is all about. And as Rav Adbar Ava gets upset with Rav Huna for not showing a good enough example of him doing it himself, and that he messes up in exactly what he was critical of Rav Huna for. Because then he makes this statement, and not being careful of his own power, of what the power of his own words. So almost like being careful of being critical of someone else, and then you end up, you know, getting, I mean, in the end, it wasn't him who got into trouble. He got someone else into trouble, but obviously it was his fault, and, you know, he obviously must have had trouble living after that. I wonder if that's also why, you know, maybe he didn't live that much longer. If Huna still had children after that, you have to think about how many years did she have for childbearing. And, right, exactly. Anyway, interesting ending.